Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Well, hey, hope you guys are ready to have a good weekend. Hope you get tomorrow off. If you don't, that's a bummer. But if you can, try to relax a little bit. But good morning and welcome to City View. My name is Jeremiah, and it's so nice to have you today. Today is our family service. So two things. One, if you are a young person and you did not get one of the boxes of Legos, go up right now. You have freedom to go and pick the one you want. I know some of you, maybe you came in late or you're sitting up at the top. Make sure you get the one you want because there's like, I think, three or four different kinds of sets. And then there's lots of different ones in those sets. So I already picked my favorite one, but I didn't take one. I bought this one right here, this Lego set. It is a 1,000-piece Lego set. It's the biggest Lego set I've ever built in my entire life. Let me tell you, my back was hurt. It was hurting after building this crouching down little piece, and Ezra helped me. The guy at the Lego store, I said, here's what I need. It's for my message on Sunday. He thought that was weird that I was going to use Legos, but either way, he's getting money. And I said, he goes, well, I go, how long does this one take? And he goes, well, who's helping you? I go, my six-year-old. He goes, probably like 6-7 hours. I don't know if that made it less or more or what that did, but he knew. And I go, what about this one? He goes, what's that place in India? Taj Mahal, which I really wanted to get it, but it's like $400 and an insane number of little pieces. And I was thinking, well, what am I ever going to do with this? This becomes like multiple different stores and all of this, but it's fun. Today, hopefully each one of you also got a Lego piece. If you didn't, you get one as you leave today. And you'll know why in a minute. This Sunday, we're continuing that series of Quit Church. If you're a young person, make sure you grab one. Grab a Lego set. They're free for you. Build it while you go. You looking at this, Liam? I know, right? It's pretty cool. You were doing the series Quit Church. It's not quit going to church, but it's quit sitting, but actually start doing. The idea of today is quit stopping by. It's let's be dependable when it comes to our church living. How many of you have things that if they were taken away, you never realized how much you depended on them? How many of you have ever had that day where you realize, well, I really need that? I remember a while ago, I went on this personal getaway, just me getting away by myself, no cell phone, no computer, no technology of any kind, a book, a journal, and a pen. That's what I had. And I went away, and I didn't have my phone. And I didn't realize how much I used my phone, not just for GPS on how to get there. I actually printed a paper map. I couldn't tell you the last time I did that. Printed a paper map so I knew the directions on how to get to the place where I was going. But I also love to use Yelp. Does anybody else like Yelp in here? You like to find those hole in the walls? Maybe some of you are like, what in the world is Yelp? Yelp is an app that you can use, and you say, like, restaurants near me, anything you're really looking for. And so I like to use it for restaurants and find those places that somebody's like, this is really amazing food, or this isn't great food. I use it. I use it all the time. And so this particular few days, I didn't have that. So I'm driving around this town, up and down these streets. It's a small town, up and down these streets, trying to figure out, what is it I want to eat? And the thing is, I couldn't read going, is this good food? Does anybody know if this is good food? I'm going into this restaurant just hoping that it's quality, hoping that it's decent. And the first place I stopped was a Big Bust. I'll never eat there again. I'd never went and Yelped it. But then another place I went the last day was this place called Harold's Corral. It was up in Carefree, Cave Creek area. If you've never been to Harold's Corral, let me tell you, the breakfast is amazing. The pancakes are some of the best pancakes. I'm a pancake connoisseur. I love pancakes. My staple breakfast, if I go out, is 2 eggs over medium with bacon and pancakes. And occasionally, French toast if it's good. Waffles are a rare, rare thing. But I'm a two eggs over medium, bacon and sausage kind of guy. And I go and I get it, and it's amazing. And I'll tell you, if I would have had Yelp, I would have known that that's where I'm going to eat breakfast every day. But you see, I didn't have it, and I didn't realize how much I needed it. It's something I depend on. Are there those people in your life that you depend on? Are you maybe that person that people depend on, that they know they need, they know that it's somebody that in their life that you know you need them? You see, depending on or being dependent on is a big deal. Have you ever thought about yourself and maybe church as something that people depend on you and you should depend on it? See, many times we look at church and we're like, it's just something I do. It's just something I do on Sundays. It's what I did as a kid and it's what I should do. But we don't necessarily always look at the why we do it. And we tell our kids, well, that's what, if you're a parent and you have kids, this is what we do on Sundays. And I know for me, that's probably what I did. That's what we do on Sundays. But there's a why behind it. It's a growth. It's being a part of a family. And some of us, we look at Sundays and we go and we come maybe once a week, maybe, or once a month. We're like once a month Christians. And we go, it's good. I like Sundays. But imagine if one is good, two is better. Because one Sunday, we come and we go and we're like, man, this is so refreshing. I don't know why I miss it. But imagine if one is good, then two is so much better for life. And so this Sunday, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at this idea of am I dependent on at church? Even if I just sit in a chair, do people depend on me? Do people look forward to me being here? Or am I just somebody taking a seat and it really doesn't matter? You see, Ezra and I, we built this Lego set. And it was fun. Every piece is important to this Lego set because it's a set. Each piece is needed. Now, you can't see from your seat, but this Lego set came with one less piece. A piece that's missing. You may look going, but it's not important. It's totally functioning. Yeah, but the thing is, it's still missing a piece. And that one piece makes this top level not as sturdy. You see, it's this insignificant piece. If you would please show me the piece up here on the screen. It's this insignificant little flat corner piece, a piece very similar to this. Except it's gray, and I don't have any extra gray pieces at my house. It's a tiny little piece. And you may look at your life going, but Jeremiah, nobody will notice if I'm missing. The thing is, the more you're connected and the more you're part of what God is doing at Cityview, everybody notices. And the thing is, yeah, maybe I won't notice one Sunday. But you see, God notices because God has something for each and every one of us here. You may think you're just an insignificant piece that once in a while is okay to come. But the thing is, if one Sunday is good, two is so much better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for today. And God, I ask that you would speak to us and encourage us on this great Sunday morning. God, I ask, Lord, that today you would meet us in a special way. Lord, I thank you that we can be here. Lord, I pray for those who are unable to make it today, whether they're on a little getaway, refresher, whatever it might be. Lord, just protect them, give them a great weekend. Lord, I ask that you bless churches all over the valley today. God, that you would meet with your people wherever they are, whether they're at City View or at CCB or maybe across church or Mountain Ridge, Lord, or Calvary, Lord, wherever people are, speak to them. Speak to us at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we are looking at Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. If you guys would please welcome up three of my close friends. Please welcome up three of my close friends this morning. They're going to help me with today's message. Come on up. So these are my friends, Deacon, Eli, Elijah. Come on up here, guys. You're going to stand right here. And Dade. Today is Dade's 13th birthday. I don't have a 13-year-old. My oldest is 12, so your parents must be so much older than me. Just thinking about ages and stuff, like 13, it's crazy, 13. I've known you since you were a baby, 13. So they're my helpers today. They're going to be up here the entire service. Thank you guys so much, and I'll let you guys know what you're going to do in a little bit. So Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. It says, while the people of Israel were still in Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. And Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us today, tomorrow. You guys are not fighting. So you know, you're not the ones Moses said choose. You are Moses, though. You are my Moses today. If you guys couldn't tell, he's my Moses in modern day garb. He says, Moses says, and I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. Go ahead, hold it up. Start holding it up. Both hands up. Okay, there you go. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. So who's Aaron? Raise your hand, Aaron. Who's Hur? Hur spelled H-U-R, not H-E-R. Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. So here's what's going on. The people of Israel, they just crossed over. This is taking place in Exodus. The people of Israel just crossed over the Red Sea. I don't know if you've ever heard that story, but the people of Israel were slaves in this place called Egypt, modern day Egypt even. And they were slaves there. And then at this one point, this guy named Moses, who is right here, he comes in and he says, "Let my people go." Will you say, "Let my people go"?
Let my people go.
And so after many things, these things called the 10 plagues, Pharaoh finally lets the people go. Keep your both hands up. You got to keep both hands up. That's what Moses did. You can't let them down, but you can let your bros know when, you know, okay, you got it. And so Moses leads a million people. No, the only thing Moses has ever led was sheep. So they never talk back. They bleat back, but they don't top back. So that's all he's led. So now he's leading a million grumpy people across the hot desert. I don't know how many of you have taken some walks in this hot desert lately. Can you imagine leading a million people through a hot desert? That does not sound fun. So Moses, right here, a.k.a. Deacon, he led a million people through this desert. Now, they get to this place where they have no food, they've run out of food, they have no water, and they don't know what to do. And so Moses cries out to God, and he says, "God, we're hungry." And so God sends what is called manna, meaning, "What is this?" That's what the word manna means. And then he said, and the people say, "But God, Moses, we're thirsty too." And so God tells Moses, "Hey, take your staff and strike a rock. Go ahead, show us what he would have done." Yeah, there you go. Just like that? Okay, good. He did it just like that. And then all of a sudden, out of this rock, water starts flowing. So all that has happened up to this point, up to chapter 17. So then in chapter 17, Moses and the people, they're there on the land, and these people called the Amalekites, who are distant relatives. And they see that God is moving in these people's, in the people of Israel's lives. They hear the stories about how God provided food for them. Manna from heaven and quail on the ground. They heard the story about how Moses struck the rock and all of a sudden a river started flowing. They heard the stories, but they do not like the people of Israel. So in this moment of time, they go and the Amalekites, they go and they attack the people of Israel. And we don't know exactly how many die or what all happens, but they were totally taken off guard. And Moses then there, in verses 8 through 11, Moses tells Joshua, "I want you to pick men to go and fight the Amalekites." And so that's what they do. And Moses says, "Now I'm going to go to the top of the mountain. I'm going to take Aaron and Hur." Now, I don't know that Aaron and Hur know what's going on. All they heard is Moses say, "We're going to fight." And being guys, I'm sure they're like, "Yeah, we are." So they're thinking, and then all of a sudden Joshua goes and picks. He's like, you, and Aaron's like, me, no, you, skips over her, you, and you. We're all going. Aaron and her are like, "What are we going to do?" Moses goes, "You're coming with me." Verse 12, Moses' arms soon became so tired. They became tired and more tired. They became so tired. And he could no longer hold the staff, so Aaron and Hur found a stone. We don't have a stone, but we have a stool. First start of the same letters. We have a stool. They found a stool for him to sit on. They found a stool. You can bring it forward. I want him still up here. They found a stool for him to sit on. And then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the armies of the Amalekites. You see, as he got tired, his arms began to fall. And he looked around him. I'm sure he's like, "Look, at every time my arms fall, my people start to lose." And I'm sure Aaron and her, they're standing there going, oh, Moses, it's not that heavy of a stick. Come on, how can you not hold your arms up long enough? It's not that big of a battle. It's tiny. It's not that hard. And Moses could have been like, hey, could one of you guys help me out? You see, one is good, but two is better. And Aaron and her could have thought, man, it's hot. I don't want to climb this mountain. Any of you ever thought that? They could have thought, I would rather go and fight. Being guys, I'm sure they thought, I would rather go and do that. Why can't I be part of that action? Why can't I have those giftings, God? Why can't I be a part of that over there? Why do you want me just standing up on top of this mountain with this old guy? Man, God, why do I always have to be with the old guy? They could have thought, why are we even up here? I wonder how long Moses stood up there with his hands up high. I told him, I said, you guys are going to be up here a long time. And I wonder if Moses or Aaron and her thought, what are we even doing? Moses doesn't need us. What would I do anyways? If I'm up here, what would I do? How can I even help? Would he even notice if I left and took a break for a minute? Now, what if one of you took a break for a minute? Go ahead, one of you. Who's going to take? Oh, they lose. As soon as that starts dropping, they start losing. So what do? Grab that arm, you prop it back up. You see, we may think, will anybody notice if I'm not here? Will anybody care if I'm not here? You see, we may look at church and think, what does it matter if I'm here? Your church attendance, it seems fine. I mean, look at it. Will they notice if I'm not here on a Sunday? You see, here's what happens at a church when we make church a priority. So it's not a matter of just filling seats. It's not a matter of filling seats. Have you ever been the first one to show up to a party? Who's ever been the awkward first one to show up to a party? Is that not one of the most uncomfortable things in the world? And maybe you're that new friend that you don't really know them very well, and you walk into the party and you're like, where's everybody? It's 5:00. Yeah, I mean, our parties start at 5, but really people don't start showing up till like 5:45. That can be awkward, right? You see, and any church is so similar. See, as a church, we're not just trying to fill up a room, but we're trying, we are desiring that we want to change our city and make an impact. And so we do that with three key things. One, with momentum. You see, when a room is full, momentum happens. You see, when we make church and coming to church a priority and something that we're like, you know, I want to be a part of what God is doing, and not just a matter of filling a seat, but being part of the momentum of what God is doing. And realizing that our role, whether it is, some of you, it's like, what do I do? I don't serve in City Kids. What am I doing? Maybe a big part of what you're doing, maybe you're coming alongside me. I have a friend who comes alongside me, and he does a lot of coaching for me, helping me become a better leader and see things clear. Maybe your role is like that. Maybe your role is a support, a prayer role. You know, we have a prayer team that meets upstairs every Sunday and prays during 9:00 service, 9:30, every Sunday. You're like, why are those chairs always set up there? Maybe some of you didn't even know there's a door back there. There's a team, you're like, I don't know, I'm not a big people person. Did you know there's people that they pray right up there every Sunday? They're a huge part of what God is doing here at City View. You see, what happens when a room is full, momentum happens. It's full of energy and people loving Jesus and loving each other to where we're noticing each other. We notice when that person that sits next to us, when they're not here. And then you say, hey, I missed you last Sunday. And then when you say something like, I missed you last Sunday, and what happens if they had something bad happen? And because you said, I missed you, and then they say, here's why I wasn't here. But you see, when we don't make it a point to come every week, nobody's going to notice. Nobody will notice you're not here, and nobody will notice they're not here. And all of a sudden, it stalls momentum. And not only does being here and making Sundays and making church part of your priority, not as it does it build momentum, but it also builds community. It builds the idea of being together and being around each other. You see, part of our mission and one of our core values here is at City View is we do life together. That is one of our key core values. We do life together. It's not about being alone, but we do life together, not just here at church, but throughout the week. Like Mark shared, we've had three different people praying for jobs. Two our first week. You guys getting tired? Trade sides if you have to. You're good? Good job. Did you guys forget about them? Because I did for a minute. But we're winning. We're winning. Good job, guys. You see, two people on that first Monday, one of them had just lost his job. He's like, I need another job. Another one's like, she runs a small business. She's like, I need God to start bringing in money. That week, God moved. In community, when you get people together to start praying. The next week, another couple come, and this husband, he goes, there's this job I'm applying for. My job currently, it's a great job, but it keeps me from coming to church on Sundays. I really want a job where I can come on Sundays. So he prayed. This week, I got a text from his wife saying, hey, my husband got the job. Community. You see, when you're in community and you're not just being alone, you're like, well, I've got so much going on. Believe me, I get it. I get so much going on. My life, I really wonder how we do what we do. But my life is busy, but community is so important. And it's not just community. It's not just momentum. And it's not just community of saying, hey, come. But look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. You can't motivate if you're not here. You can't be motivated if you're not here. We are to motivate one another, encourage one another. What, you know, when we are praying together and at Citigroup on Monday nights or Tuesday nights, there's two of them, or Thursday night, there's one. When we come together and we pray, we're motivating one another. So guess what we did? On Monday night this week, we shared with everybody, hey, guys, you know how we were praying last week that people would get jobs? We were praying that happened. So this week when the guy said, hey, I'll pray for my job. I want a job. All of a sudden, you know what we get to share tomorrow? Hey, guys, Roy got the job he wanted. That's what we get to share. We get to share that. So it's this idea of motivating one another. So when other people come on Monday, they're like, hey, so prayer's working. Can you pray for my marriage? Can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? All of a sudden, there's this motivation. That's what happens when we come together. And then it says in verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Here is the importance of coming and meeting together. And then a third thing that's important that happens is teamwork. You know, I love sports. I just love them. But watching a basketball team, have you ever watched a basketball team and how important teamwork is on a basketball team? You know, you may have an all-star, but the thing is, you remove all four guys away from the all-star, he will not win that game. He needs every single guy. But the thing is, if you just had five guys and you left the guys on the bench, you didn't let them play, your team will get tired and they will not win. You may think, I just have a bench role. How important am I? The thing is, those guys, each guy is going to need a break, and each game needs a different tweaking. You might need to play more big guys or more small guys, dependent upon what lineup you're going against. You see, it takes teamwork. You may look around going, but am I even needed here? Each person has a role. Just like each one of these Lego pieces. You guys getting tired? You are? Hey, you know what you can do? You can just stand like this. Do that. I got you. I got you, Mo. I wonder if Aaron and her are like, hey, we got you. We will not leave your side. You can depend on us. We're here. We're a team. We're doing this together. And I'll bet that's what they did. They're like, Moses, look at that. We're winning. We're winning. And I wonder if they're like, hey, Moses. Oh, we're losing. Back up. I wonder if they messed around. I wonder if they did that and they watched the line going back. I don't know. They thinking of guys they messed around with. But see, it's teamwork. It's church coming together. You see, one is good. One Sunday is good, but two is better. Imagine what three and four and five and each Sunday would do. You see, lives are being changed each and every Sunday here. I got a text from a young man after I preached on giving a couple weeks ago. He texted me and said, Jeremiah, thank you so much for sharing that message. He goes, I have been struggling with greed for the past 2 years. He says, demons have been coming to speak to me, and they've been chasing my soul. And he goes, I never realized how much my greed and my wanting of money, am I not giving to the Lord, how much that made me see people as less people because I had so much money. He goes, but you showed me today the importance of giving, the importance of not holding it all onto myself. You see, Moses had Aaron and Hur, these two guys that he could depend on. But you see, Hur, you're Hur, right? Hur was significant. Do you want to know how Hur probably learned how to be dependable? Because he could leave Moses. He could be like, Moses, you know, I'm getting tired. It's hot. It's hot up here. And looks like we're doing pretty good down there. I mean, I probably only got another hour left of battling or whatever. And you got it. He goes, Aaron, can you get him? Can you cover him? Could have. But you see, you want to know why Hur was dependable? Because his dad was dependable. His dad was a man named Caleb. Caleb was a man, if some of you may know the Old Testament, some of you may not. Caleb was a man that when Moses sent spies into the land to see whether or not the promised land was something they could win and whether they could go in, there were two guys. There was a guy named Joshua and a guy named Caleb. They went as a team, and there were 12 teams. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that came back and said, we can do this. Caleb was one of the only guys that said, Moses, we can do this. And look at what God says about Caleb in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, Hur's dad, is different, has a different attitude than others. He has remained loyal, dependable to me. Parents, you have an impact on your kids. You have an impact on your kids on how you treat others, on what things are important and what things aren't important. You have an impact on your kids on how you treat other people. Did I just say that? I don't know if I did. You have an impact on your kids on whether church is important or not, or whether their Sunday sports are important. Or whether your show, or whether going away, like, hey, you know what? I know we got to get, I'm not saying going away is a bad thing. But each thing we do, we're teaching somebody something. We're being an example in some way. We're helping our kids know that this is important. You see, Caleb, if he would have come in and been a doubter and been like, yeah, we don't got this, I don't think Hur would have been up here. I think Hur would have been like, yeah, you know what? Moses, can you find somebody else? I'm just tired today. I don't think we're going to win. That would have been his attitude, because his dad's attitude would have been contagious to him. His dad, if he would have come in going, Moses, I don't think we can do it. I know Joshua thinks we can, but I don't think we can. Then all of a sudden, his kids go, man, my dad's a doubter. I'm probably going to be. And so they all of a sudden, they start following this example. But because Hur saw his dad as dependable, Hur became dependable. So your kids watch you. They see you going to church on Sundays. And if you're going just to go, that's not always helpful. But if you tell them, this is why we go, because we're part of a community, because we are there for each other. And some Sundays it might be like, why am I even here? And all of a sudden you get to encourage one person. You're like, I don't have that one person. Get into a group. Find a person. Be a help to somebody. You see, imagine those of us that come maybe only once in a while, and we're like, man, but Sundays are my only day off. I get it. And then you come on that one Sunday and you're like, oh man, this was so good. This is so good. Imagine if one Sunday is good, two would be so much better. Just like you have one guy is good here. Look, go ahead, Ian, let go. Now you dipped. Hold both arms. One guy is good. The thing is, more than likely, what would happen is, when they went to go get the stool or the stone, they would continue to lose. I don't know how big that rock was, but they would have had to roll it. But you see, because there were two, one guy could help while the other one got the stone. And because there's two, he doesn't have to get as tired. They could trade sides, but the thing is, they're there together. Go ahead, you can help to encourage each other, to encourage one another. Now, here's what's cool about Aaron and Hur. They could have thought, why are we here? But instead, they were dependable. They saw the need. They took initiative. They acted. And you know what? They were just as much part of the victory. Just as these two are just as much of a part of this message. Even though he's the only one who spoke. You preached today. Good job. But they're just as much of a part as every single one of us in here. So I ask you, if you call City View home, be a part of what God's doing here. Be a part of the momentum that God so desires to do through us here. You see, make going to church a priority. And I know many of you are like, I do this, but I want you to know why. Think about why you're doing it. Teach your kids why you do it. Teach your kids why you're here. Here's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And Jesus, he came to Nazareth, where he was born, where he was brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This was part of Jesus' life. This is what he did. If you come on one Sunday a month and it fills your heart and you're like, man, that was so good, imagine what two would do. And if you come one Sunday, or if you come every Sunday and you come and you sit and you're like, man, I'd love to be a part of what God's doing. Imagine if you took that next step and became even more of a part. You see, each and every one of you are a piece to what God is doing through this church in this city. And I want to challenge you. What piece, what action are you? Thanks, guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. God, I thank you that we are each a special part of what you're doing here in this valley. God, I ask that you would encourage us, strengthen us. Lord, may we realize if one is good, two is better. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.